Well, praise the Lord. God bless you for being on the call with us live this morning. We've got a nice full call this morning. Lots of people being silent, so I'm just thankful that you decided, you know what, I want to call in. I might want to check this out, but I want to let you know how it works. My name is Becky Spieth, and I have a passion to minister in the marketplace. So regardless of what your business is, if you're an entrepreneur, you've got a brick-and-mortar business, maybe you're in direct selling, not really sure what area that you might be in, or maybe you're just staying at home and you saw this come across your Facebook, I just want you to know that we love you, that God values you beyond measure, and that we're here to minister to you each and every Monday morning. I will be taking one Monday off. Just wanted to let you know I won't be here August 10th. So I'll be actually with John Maxwell that day, and just wanted to let you know ahead of time so you can mark your calendars, but God's going to be filling me up with a new fresh fire and energy while I'm there, I'm sure, and I'll be able to be back the following week. But again, August 10th, we won't be having our regular Bible study and prayer time, but know that I am praying for you regardless. And if you do have a prayer request then or any day, all you have to do is go to Facebook, to my Facebook page called The Christian Direct Seller. So it's The Christian Direct Seller, and you can message me there. Just know that God has an amazing plan for you. This week is going to be extraordinary, and I'm excited for you to be with us today because our topic today is judge, jury, and executioner. And so I hope that it'll bless you. Usually these messages are very, very encouraging. And I want you to know that if you do have a prayer request and you don't feel like messaging that in, you can always jump on, and I love it when you do this, jump on at 8:25 Central Time in the morning and share your prayer requests and your praise reports. We don't record those in case there's something sensitive that you would not want prayed for on the recording that can be distributed or found on my website under the free tab if you go to BeckySpieth.com. But just wanted to let you know that that's kind of how things work here. I'm very fervent to pray for you. I try to write all the prayer requests down. I keep them posted on a board right next to my phone and computer, so I pray for you throughout the week. And I know that God loves you, and he wants you to be successful, and he wants you to be a part of a group that's going to lift you up, that's got the same ideas, same ideals, and just wants to bless you and bless the Lord as we come together. So let's open in prayer today, and then we're going to jump right in. Father God, I praise you and I thank you. I give you the glory and you the honor for what you're doing and helping us to build the kingdom, to give you honor and glory for loving us, just to give you honor and glory for allowing us another day to serve you. Lord, we love you for who you are. You're such a magnificent and an amazing God, and we just know that you've got a message for us. Thank you for speaking directly into our hearts and into our minds. Thank you for your word, that we've got your word in order to study and to hear directly from you as well. Father, we worship and we praise you. I pray that you'll speak through my mouth of clay to touch hearts and minds of those that are listening, that you'll take the scales off their eyes so they can see like you see, that you'll unplug our ears so that we can hear like you hear, and that when we leave the call today, that our lives will never be the same again. Help us to be faithful and minister in the marketplace, that we would be the light, and that we don't hide our light under the bushel, but we would be the light in this world, that we would be the ministers in the marketplace, and that we would further and grow your kingdom with great fervency and great fire in our hearts and in our belly. We love you and thank you and ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's topic is called Judge, Jury, and Executioner. Isn't it true that so often we as Christians, especially, and I'm just going to talk to the Christians here for a minute, that we just want to be able to just pass judgment on people? They should know better. How many times have you said that? Well, let me just be frank and upfront. Every time I share a message with you, it's because it's come from my heart. It's something that I've dealt with or I'm dealing with or the Lord's speaking to my heart about. And I can tell you that many times those words have come out of my mouth. Well, they should know better. Well, they're a Christian. They should know better. They shouldn't treat people that way. How many times have we used the scripture from Matthew 7 where we say, oh, don't judge. Don't you judge me. it kind of seems like we as Christians like to judge. There was a story about a church member, and he called his pastor, and he said, "Oh, pastor, I'm so upset. A tornado just destroyed my house and my barn." "I'm not surprised," replied the pastor. "Punishment for sin is inevitable." Immediately, the pastor on the other end of the phone heard his member say, "But it destroyed your house too, pastor." "It did," said the pastor. "Well, the ways of the Lord are beyond human understanding." Isn't that what we want to do? When I was doing a little bit of research for this, I thought, that's how we are, right? As we're hurting and we're crying out from the world, we'll say, we'll come to the pastor, we'll come to church, we'll come to someone that we know is a Christian, and we'll say, this thing's happened in my life. I've got this tragedy, or this is what's going on. And immediately the Christian will probably want to say, well, you know, just let me tell you why this is happening to you. You know, it's kind of funny because in the Word, it tells us that there was a blind man. And everybody came to Jesus and they said, okay, so explain to this. Why is he blind? Was it that he that did a sin? Like, because he was blind from birth. Did he sin in his mother's womb? Or was it his parents that sinned and that's why he's blind? I can just imagine Jesus as he replied and he just shook his head. And he said, you know what? You're facing the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're questioning the wrong thing. But don't we do that as Christians? Sometimes we want to judge. Sometimes then we'll say, well, you know what? Let me hear all of the dirt. Let me hear all the dirt, and then I'll pass judgment, and I'll let you know if I'll pray for you, or if I'll be here to help support you, or if I'll share the true word in love with you. So we'll hear all of it and then we'll say, then we want to go back to that judge. Yep, let me tell you what that's about. And isn't it sometimes that we decide that we want to be the executioner as well? We decide that, you know what, well, your sin is just a little dirtier than my sin, and so you don't get to fellowship with me. Or, you know what, I'm so glad they don't attend church anymore because, you know what, they do a lot of gossip. They do a lot of you fill in the blank, right? I'm concerned about us as a body. I'm concerned about us as Christians. Do you realize that it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us? You don't have to be the Holy Spirit. Whether you're living in a house of just heathen people, just acting just awful, or you're living in with perfect saints, you're not the Holy Spirit of the home. And I know for us as women, and I can only speak to us from my perspective, there's many a times I'm ready to be the Holy Spirit for my husband, for my children, for everyone else. But I have to remember, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, and it's God's job to judge. It's what it tells us in the Word. Do you know what our job is? Our job is to love. I probably blew you away, right? You're thinking, oh, great. This is another one of those love and goose sermons. Well, just bear with me a little bit. If you look in the Word in Matthew 7, it says, don't judge others, and you will not be judged. Well, let me tell you, it's not just good enough not to judge because it tells us that there's the repercussion. But it is good to know that if we are going around judging other people, that we're going to be judged. For you'll be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard in which you will be judged. And then this is Jesus speaking. He says, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you've got a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, well, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye or that sin in your life, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Oh, hypocrite. And that's with an exclamation point. I'm sure Jesus was just like, you know what? I'm done with this. You guys, come on. You're being a hypocrite. first, get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you're going to see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So what are we supposed to do? Are we to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner, or are we supposed to reconcile, restore, and renew? Well, when I read the word, I read that we're to reconcile. According to 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 20, it was God, personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. He's not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. So we're Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. For we, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God. We've got to reconcile ourselves first. Realize that God's not sitting at the throne on heaven with just an axe in hand saying, okay, I can't wait to just cut them down. I'm waiting to get them. No, that's not what he's doing. He's a God of love. He said, I want no man to perish. But, oh, don't we like to do that down here? We're supposed to be Christ's ambassadors. We're supposed to be living out that love, not holding everyone's sin against them. We're to have the ministry of reconciliation, carrying that message to reconcile other people, bring them back to God and back into his divine favor. Oh, and that's what I want for you, to be in God's divine favor, reconciling and bringing others to him. Do you know that my dad always used to say, you get more flies with honey, right? You get more bees with honey. You can't be the person that's going to be all vinegar and expect people to love you, right? Not really sure that we get that as Christians. What about restore? Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Do what Christ did? Seek to save that which was lost? What about Lamentations 5:21? And we can renew. It says, restore us to you, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days of old. Let me ask you this. Is your personal flavor of sin any different than someone else's? Think about Mary Magdalene. Jesus came walking into the city, and he saw some angry men. I mean, they had stones in hand, and they were mad. They were so angry, they were going to kill. And Jesus walked into the middle. And how did he handle it? Did he get to the point where he was screaming and hollering, grab a bullhorn, and just want to take it out on somebody? No. He walked up quietly, knelt to the ground, and he wrote something in the sand. And then he looked up at those who had passed judgment, those who wanted to be the juror, that wanted to bring that conviction, that wanted to execute the punishment onto this woman, and I'm sure they were just as guilty in sin as she was. And then Jesus looked at them and said, whoever's without sin can throw the first stone. Well, we know how the story ended. They put their stones down. Because his love and his compassion spoke directly to their hearts. And Mary became one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples. What an excellent example. Because you know what? Doesn't matter what my flavor of sin is, or your flavor of sin, or Mary's flavor of sin, does it? Sin is sin, and it separates us from God. Would you want that for anyone? It's funny, if someone wants to judge us, how defensive we can become. But many times we're standing right there passing the judgment. Let me ask you this. Have you ever made a mistake in life? I sure have. I've made some really big ones. Some of them I did knowingly, and some of them I did unknowingly. And some of them, honestly, I don't know where my mind was at. But I'm so thankful for God's love, His grace, and His mercy. And I'm thankful for His people that loved me through the process. Aren't you glad that you were redeemed from whatever your flavor of sin was? Think about back to your younger years. I'm sure now that you're all just sanctified and perfect and holy, but think back to maybe some younger years. And maybe some of the things you've done, you've said, how you've hurt someone with words or actions or deeds. Maybe you were a drinker and a carouser and you were someone that hurt someone else intentionally. Maybe you were involved in fornication or adultery. Maybe you were involved in drugs. Maybe you were involved in gossiping, telling half-truths, white lies. It's all the same. Maybe you had an abortion. Maybe you were experimenting with an alternative lifestyle. Aren't you so thankful that God loves you, that He has grace and mercy, and that you can go out and be the one that can share the testimony of what God's done in your life? He has redeemed you. He has restored you. He has reconciled you back to Himself, and you are renewed. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 through 11 from the Message says, God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master, Jesus Christ. He died for us. He died a death that triggered life. Whether we're awake with the living or asleep with the dead, we're alive with Him. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. I know you're already doing this, but keep on doing it. What great love God had for us. What great love Jesus had for us. Can you imagine what your church might look like next week if instead of judging each person as they walked in the door by what they dressed, how they looked, if they smelled like smoke or drink or whatever, or if their skirt was too short, their skirt was too long, whatever it is, we loved. We accepted those who had been hurt by the church, which is really the body of Christ. And we said, we're sure glad you're here. Welcome. What about that wayward person that you see on the street? Or that person that, boy, just gets under your skin at work or on your team? What if you greeted them with love? You don't want them left behind. You wouldn't want their life, the blood of their life on your hands. You've got the time now to love them. You know, we want to lovingly tell the truth from God's word with humility, not trying to beat somebody or Bible thump them. They'll never come to know the Lord then. We want to help that person reach his or her full potential as a follower of Jesus, don't we? Don't we want to have everybody see Jesus through us? They may never pick up a Bible. They may never walk into a church. And they may never see anyone except for you. What example are you of Christ, of Jesus and His love? John 13, 34 and 35 from the New Living Translation says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you may also love one another. So even if you feel like you can't love somebody, the hurt's too deep, what they did hurt so bad. Jesus says that we can love others because He loved us, and we can love them with His power. It says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. How different are you than someone in the world that doesn't confess to be a believer, if you stood side by side and the unlovable walks by, can they tell the difference that you're the believer, that you're the disciple of Christ? Do they know you by your love? In the New Living Translation, I just love this, and it just speaks to my heart. It says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Are you being loving to other Christians? Are you being loving to your family? Are you being loving to the people that you work with? Are you being loving to those people that are unlovable that walk through the door at your church? It's going to be the love that you share and not the judgment. Because love, not judgment, goes before a changed life. Brokenness, not perfection, goes before a changed life. When we are broken before the Lord and we share love and we don't judge, we just say, you know what, honey, I'm glad you're here. Wouldn't you rather they be in your presence or the presence of the Lord or at your church or wherever where you are ministering God's word and God's love? Maybe it's your party. Maybe it's in a presentation that you're doing. Wouldn't you rather they be there than still doing the sin? Because they very well could be. But instead, oh no, we want to judge them. You shouldn't have been drinking. You shouldn't have been, you shouldn't have been, you shouldn't have been, and you should all over them. God says to love. He tells us back in Matthew 7, at the very beginning, we talked about getting the rid of the log in our own eye, and then we'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Examine your heart, examine your attitudes, and realize that it wasn't just get the log out of your eye. He said, first, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye, because you'll have the love. You'll be able to be in relationship. You'll have the right attitude. You'll have the love of Christ being channeled in and through you. You'll have his glory, his open heaven over you, speaking his word, his love to this person to bring them to reconciliation, restoration, and renewal. It tells us in Revelation 12:11, and they defeated the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they didn't love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. They said, you know what? This is what the Lord did in my life. This is what I can share with you that I know God wants to do for you, in you, through you. Let me help you. Let me love you in this process. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to help you in any way, even if it's just to hold your hand, put my arm around you, love you, so that you can be the best person for the Lord that you possibly can be. So let me ask you this again. Are we supposed to convict? No. It's the Holy Spirit's job. Are we to judge? No. That's God's job. What's our job today and every day? It's to love. Because people will know we're his disciples because of our love. You know, I'm going to encourage you, if you've been praying for somebody for a long time, or you might seem that whatever it is that you're going through or dealing with right now is just too big, too much, or maybe you've asked, or you've got something really big on your heart that you think it's too big to ask God for, I want you to be encouraged, because God wants us to go to him with all of our needs. And he longs to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to pour out his favor and his blessing on you. You realize that even Jesus himself said that you don't have things and you don't have because you don't ask. So I want to encourage you as we go into our prayer time today. I want you to step out in faith and I want you to ask for God's favor, his blessing, his increase, him to help you stop judging and start loving. I first want to support you in getting that log out of your own eye. Begin your prayer time by surrendering every thought and every attitude to the Father. Ask him to purify your motives and show you if there's any unforgiveness or any area that you're not truly loving in your life that would block your prayers. And remember, he desires good things for you. You can trust him. Step out and ask, and then watch what he's going to do. Oh, Father God in heaven, we love you and we thank you. We humbly come before you this morning, and we surrender all that we are. We ask that you pour out your favor and your blessing on us. Show us your goodness and your love, and position us to be a greater blessing to those in Jesus' name. And Father God, I thank you and give you the glory for all the awards and the recognition that was given for people that were celebrating at their national conferences so far this year, Lord. And then for those that are traveling, Lord, I ask that you would just bless them with traveling mercies. Be with Rebecca and Joy as they help go to celebration. Also with Pam and Carol and Melanie as they go to Dallas. Lord, I pray traveling mercies for Phil traveling to Minnesota. And Lord, I just praise you for Gloriella's accomplishments for being number 20 in an area of 300 in sales. Lord, thank you that she is willing to be a minister in the marketplace, that she blesses other people with her walk with you. Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless her business and that favor would go out before her and everyone listening on the call. Lord, I know that you know there's many other burdens on hearts this morning. Give wisdom. Give discernment. Give direction. Help them make the God choice, not the good choice, the God choice, the choice that you would have for us. Lord, I pray that you would free people from their addictions. We want only you to control our lives, you to be our source of joy, you to be the one that brings the comfort to us. Help us to be faithful this week, Lord. Help us to do what you would have us to do. Help us to be that love. And as the planks, the logs, are revealed to us as we look in the mirror against what your word says about our life, that you would help us to remove that, that we would stay humble, that we would speak truth and love, that we would focus more on the relationships like you do with us than just wanting to be angry, frustrated, and judge. We love you, Father God. We thank you for this extraordinary week that you've given us to bless you and this amazing day. Lord, I pray that you will just build each and every person up to fulfill the call you have on their life. We praise you and thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, just one other thing. I just sense there's such a heaviness on people's hearts this morning. I pray that you will relieve that burden, that they will surrender all to you. They will embrace your love and how you embrace and sing songs over us, how you catch every tear, how you love us so much that you know every hair on our head. Lord, I pray that you would make your presence manifest to them in such a strong way that it touches their heart and their life, that you relieve their burden. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it an awesome week, everybody. And I'll be watching for additional prayer requests to come in. I'll also be watching and praying for you. Know that I love you. God loves you. He wants to answer your prayers, and he wants to lavish his love over you. Have a phenomenal week. Take care, and God bless you, everybody. I'll be with you again next week. Bye now.